Hey there, Mike Stelzner coming to you with a fascinating update you might not be familiar with. Did you know that Social Media Examiner can deliver all the marketing training, news, and trends, insights that you need into your inbox 3 days a week when you sign up for our newsletter, and it's completely free? Simply visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates and take your marketing to the next level.
Welcome to the Marketing Agency Show, where we explore solutions to the biggest challenges faced by agencies.
Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for joining me for the Marketing Agency Show, brought to you by Social Media Examiner. I'm your host, Brooke Sullis, and this is the show for agency owners and agency marketers. We explore the topics that no one else is talking about, so pull up a seat to the table and let's have a great conversation. Today, I'll be joined by Troy Sandage. Also, if you're new to this podcast, be sure to follow our show so you don't miss any of our future content. Let's transition over to this week's guest, Troy.
To help explore the frontier of working at and growing agencies, here is this week's expert guide.
Hey, y'all. I am so excited to be joined by friend and brilliant marketer, Troy Sandage. If you don't know Troy, he is an award-winning growth marketing strategist known as the Strategy Hacker, who is a 5X agency builder, a 3X startup founder, a 4X CMO, a 2X COO. And if that's not enough, he's also a board advisor with over 15 years experience focusing on strategic growth advisory, marketing ops, growth ops, and most importantly, diversity-led experiential marketing, which we're going to be talking about today. Troy, welcome to the show.
I'm here. Thank you for having me. Let's get our energy up all the way.
We should have like an impromptu dance party. So backstory, Troy and I have known each other for a while online, but I finally got to meet you in person, last year at Inbound. And you were an MC for the whole Inbound event. And you were, on fire. You were amazing.
Thank you. And then I got to see you right after. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like Christmas came early.
That's right. It was like you.
The ages have changed.
Ages have changed. You walked in. I was like, Troy, what are you doing here? Oh my goodness. So let's get this conversation started. And I want to know, what made you do this crazy thing? And what made you do it so many times? Like, why are you going this crazy route of agency ownership?
Oh my goodness. I think you discover really quickly if you are built for this life or you're not. And I am a person who just channels great energy, who has endless visions of ideas. And to be frank with you, I like the flexibility. I don't want to do one thing. I like to do a multitude of things. Now, sometimes I may take on more than I can chew. But most times when I'm in my element, in my zone, and in my zone of genius, it's just like a symphony. I'm just able to flow and just make it all work in harmony. And I found agency life, though there are its challenges and pros and cons, as we'd all know, I had the right space. Thankfully, my partner is just so supportive and just understands there's that season of like deep work and seasons where I'm chill. It's kind of like you're an athlete. And so I think people who are agency owners or part of the agency, you are a digital athlete. You know, you go through these sprints of like, I'm trying to get the championship, and then it's the off season, you know? And so I think from that perspective, when you have this right space and environment to cultivate a positive way to lead an agency or build an agency or grow an agency, it's going to be monumentous and great for you.
Can I just say, I was just talking about how I say I love that too much on this show, but man, do I love that analogy. It is so good. We're athletes. We're athletes. And it takes so much mental and physical conditioning to do what we do. So good. I love it. I don't care. I love it. So what kind of clients are you serving now? Tell us a little bit about the business.
So the business, I feel like they say three times, the third time's a charm. I'm on my fifth or sixth. It depends on the day. That doesn't include agencies I built on the side. I find now my pillar has always been marketing because I've done that for the longest. I've done it in B2B space for the longest. And eventually over time, I elevated to strategy specifically and growth and revenue generating activities. And then on top of that, it's now like this pyramid of stacking and getting very specific of how do I do this in a more equitable way? How do I make sure it's more inclusive? How do I make sure that not only the manner of which I market, the language that I use, the messaging that I incorporate, the imagery, the perception I'm pursuing and displaying on website and inbound and outbound experiences, is it in a way that is intentional and acceptable for who I'm trying to impact the most? And it's almost like you're taking something already great and you're adding a very specific filter for it to be received by more people, creating more opportunities. And so now I've kind of, with my partner, Christina Kay, we're launching Season 3 Media, or S3M for short. And we're trying to do this where DEIB is our nucleus. And we're looking at how do we engage with our tech stack? How do we integrate our operation systems? How do we market? How do we sell? It's not just about, ooh, we're hitting our margins for Q1, we're hitting our numbers, but did we do it in a way that made us feel good? And that might be a weird thing for agency owners and executive leaders to like be in a round table and be like, we hit our goals for this quarter, but do you feel good? Did it feel great doing it that way? It's like you have a team and you have a winning season, but were we happy? Was the journey fun? And I find when the journey is fun and your fans are happy and everyone's happy, you might not have won the championship that year, but y'all, we had a good time. We had a good time. And why can't agencies be more fun unless you didn't hit your goals and it's stress-induced and you never have a life? I get tired of that. So I'm trying to challenge the MO on that. And let's see if we can make an agency more equitable and receiving. And the last thing I'll say in this moment, when you think of agencies that are most successful, you know, to like the broader sense of audience and maybe not the most micro of niche, you don't see a lot of color. To this day, you still don't see a lot of women leaders, women in the boardrooms, underrepresented communities, taking on clientele. And here's the thing, underrepresented communities, BIPOC, represents $3.7 trillion in buying power. What if I told you that if you just would include more inclusion in how you market, you're naturally going to increase by 26% over the next 2 years, simply by opening the gate for most people to consider, I can see myself in this marketing campaign. I want to choose my buying dollars about that. And I kind of got to get ahead of myself, and we'll talk more about this later, but just want to tease it out there. But just sit and marinate on the possibility. It's not so much what you're doing wrong. It's what can we do to be better? And that should be the goal of every NHGC.
It's so good. It's like Spider-Man when it's like you decide to use your powers. What is it? With great power comes great responsibility. And I feel like a lot of agency owners are focused on maintaining and grabbing that great power. And so few are focused on the responsibility that comes along with these platforms that we have. And this is what you're saying, right? Like, let's be powerful, but then let's use that power for good to lift, in my opinion, everybody up. Like, everybody has a place, right?
Yes.
So, okay, in the pre-chat, we talked about your conscious growth pathways. So I want to talk about that more here because I find it really interesting. So explain to the audience what conscious growth pathways are and how they differ from traditional marketing models.
Sure. So it's very funny coming up with this concept because, you know, you look at all the tried and true Ogilvy and everyone who they quote back in the day of like, how do I incorporate sales? And I always start with the basics. So if you're marketing 101, you learn about the five P's, and that's product, that's people, that's place, promotion, and price. Standard marketing procedure, right? Then you might elevate a little bit. You might do more community. You might get into the weeds a little bit. And you come to the seven C's of marketing, which is content, context, customer, convenience, cohesion, well, two more, conversion, and community.
Yeah.
So you have those seven. All right, cool. And we're building, stay with me, we're building this little pyramid. Now, if you stop there, what most people do, they're missing the one element that those who are struggling with GA4, those who are trying to do all the millions of data analytics, you're missing element H, is the human element. You're missing the human component in all of this. And no matter how well you are, your 5 P's, your 7 C's, if you don't incorporate, you know, or account for the human element in how you grow, it will not matter. So I'm looking at flywheels. I'm looking at phases. I'm looking at stages. I'm looking at all these different things that people just rat off. And it's kind of like, go back to when you're 5 years old and you're like, why? I don't know. We always do this way. Why? Oh, because someone I saw from a conference call did it. Why? Because this person who's been in marketing for 25 years said this is the way to go.
But why?
Right. But why? It's not that it's not still relevant, but is it applicable to where you're trying to go today? And as we're having more generations into the workforce with buying power who don't know these old heads from 30 years ago that we all quote and worship and put them on some pedestal somewhere, how do we reach them? And so Conscious Growth Pathways is all about meeting people, really brands, your community, whatever, at this intersection of experience, entertainment, education, and empowerment to drive profitable outcomes and impact. And this is built on inclusion in equitable ways. Now, why do I add all of that together? It's one thing to make money. It's another thing to make money that impacts more. It has a ripple effect. It's not contained just one thing. It has this ripple effect that not only sustains you and makes you more relevant, but you're actually getting credit for the additional blossoms of things that your product, your service, your offering is doing at scale. And I think that is so critical and important, where now more buyers, more than ever, 93% of buyers, if your purpose and your mission does not align with me as a human, I will go an hour away to choose another brand versus you. You could be a legacy brand. Who cares? Every year we find out a new legacy brand is becoming bankrupt or more and more irrelevant because they haven't adapted to the times and made themselves more relevant for human consumption. And so with Conscious Growth Pathways, again, I'm going to go through this one more time. We got the 5 P's. Product, price, people, place, and promotion. We have the 7 C's, customer, content, context, convenience, community, cohesion, and conversion. And then on top of that, we have our 4 E's, engagement, exclusivity, experience, and emotion. Not sure what does that matter. Engaging with people, making something exclusive, because we're going from, we're burnt out of social media, we're burnt out with Zoom. I want to go to an exclusive, private community where I can be free, where I can feel safe. This also ties into where DEIB, the being belongingness. I want to feel accepted. I don't feel like I belong. And if your agency, if what you're offering doesn't connect and create a pathway for me to be happier in what I want to do, I don't want to do business with you. So agency owners, we are in the human business, and our purpose is to make sure that our offering, our MVP, belongs in our ICP. And if our ICP doesn't believe we belong, we ain't getting that bread. We ain't getting that money. It's uh-oh. It's what's happening out here. And so it's focusing on that human element just a little bit more.
Can I say something, though? Like, this is why some of those legacy brands roll up and look like the mummy, you know, because they're not including this stuff in what they do. And two things to your point. I've been the chairwoman of Best Buddies New Jersey for 4 years now, and we work in inclusion. We're working with special needs people, which obviously is multicultural, but to the niche down part, it's like, hey, just because somebody has special needs doesn't mean they won't be an amazing person in your workforce, right? But number two, and by the way, just being a part of that association, using my power for good, and this is something I do on the side, has led to more business. And I got into some of the companies that I got into. They already had the agency of record or whoever it was, but it was that connection that we made over the inclusion piece that got me in the door, right? And secondly, this is just a question that popped up in my head as you were talking. So Inbound has Black at Inbound, which I thought was fascinating. Last year was my first year attending, and they had a whole meetup area, and it was so cool. Can you just talk about that a little bit? Because I also think many of us attend marketing events. We put on marketing events. that was such a cool thing. And I don't know how long they've been doing it. Again, this was my first year seeing it, but it was just such a cool thing. Like, can you just speak on it a tiny bit for those people who are listening or watching?
Sure. I want to give a shout out to Devin, who launched it, and Shauna and the team who is slaying it. Black and Inbound was a concept, and it grew from a community group, literally people of color attending Inbound and experiencing that. And why does this even matter? And I appreciate you for asking the question. The first thing is to consider that when you go to a conference, do you ever think, how many people look like me? How many people will understand my pathway, my journey to grow my agency if you're a BIPOC or AAPI or underrepresented agency-led community or organization? You know, or maybe you're not of that effort, but have you ever considered, I don't see enough of this. I don't experience enough of that.
Too much sameness. Yeah.
Exactly. And this isn't to put anything down. It's simply, how do we do it better? And again, conscious. When you are made aware, when you're conscious, you now can create new growth pathways. And a pathway is like a node to give you from one side to the other. So Black and Inbound was an activation. They did it the last 2 years where they now have their full activation space. And so this was the second year, and we're talking about 2023 for those who are dating or whatever, of this activation space. And they've always had it now toward kind of the front, or they've expanded it. Now it's more toward the middle, but still toward the front end of Inbound experience. And it's a wonderful thing. Because when we think of the human element, we don't think we come to the conference, look at our top speakers, look at all things we're offering. But if it doesn't resonate, if it doesn't connect, if it doesn't say the same thing, it doesn't matter. And so Black and Inbound created this safe space where if you just learned a lot today, you need to like sit down and I'm going to be real with you and release the code switch and just talk like a person. Black people, BIPOC folk, y'all know what it is.
I know what you're saying.
There's a whole women in tech section. When you get to that area with you, with your girls, your homeboys, your friends, and you can just release. Maybe your tone goes lower. Maybe your tone goes higher. Maybe you go flat.
I use the F word a lot more.
Hey, you know, whatever, whatever's needed to get through the day. That's kind of what happened at Black and Inbound. But also, now that you have this safe space where you feel you don't have to feel judged or whatever, let's talk business. Let's talk how to help each other and expand on that. Because we have to consider, when you put stuff on your website, did you consider the understanding level of how they would read that? It may be very clear what you're selling to you. Of course it is. Marketing 101. It may not be clear to those who are consuming it.
Yeah.
So is that elevated thinking of speaking for it? For sure.
Well, and what you just said too, it's like the belonging piece. Like once you see that you belong and you like, as you said, with Black and Inbound, then you started talking business. The whole idea of creating that safe space spurs more business, which is exactly what your new agency is helping people do. Like, hello, wake up, open your eyes. I can help you do better things and get more money. So let's talk about, okay, let's say there are people who are listening or watching right now and they're like, oh my gosh, they're realizing, right? And I'll be frank, I had to realize this myself a few years ago. Like we needed more representation on our team and I made a concerted effort to hire people who weren't like me. And so if people are kind of coming to that realization right now, how would you tell them that they can effectively include DEIB principles into their agency or into their marketing strategies?
So if you don't know me, I am a person who leads with a lot of mnemonics and acronyms. There's a reason for that. I'm neurodivergent and I'm also expressing in a way where people can remember and anchor something. And I'm very conscious of that and considerate of that. And so when you're consuming, you're like, oh, I need to bring more awareness. And the first thing I always say is look at your cup, your capacity, your utility, and your performance. There's a reason I'm going to say this. Let's go back for a quick second. And I remember what happened with George Floyd. And after that experience, I had the most requests in my entire life to speak. Now, I've always kept my private life separate from my public articulation. It's always been strategy and marketing. But I realized as a human, I can't separate one from the other. I need both. And so then I was able to express myself and get rooted and grounded. So I had to assess what is my capacity to make this change or adapt something. And for those who are trying to embrace DEI, be better, sometimes you can't do everything. Don't set your goals too high. Just small incremental changes. Trust me, the communities will notice. They will embrace it and they will appreciate it. Not everybody can just say, we're going to create a grant and 10% of all of our agency funds is going to go to nonprofit and DEIB initiatives for inner city kids. Not everyone can do things like that. Know your capacity and then understand your utility. Now, what is the utility, the mutual benefit of doing this? And can we sustain this utility? And then lastly, the performance. How are you going to measure your efforts to make sure you're doing the right things in the right way that's received? Because sometimes people can get it wrong. A prime example, people who posted a lot of the black squares because it was trending, but didn't take the minute to be conscious and aware, what were they actually saying? But Troy, I did the effort. I supported it. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Are you listening? But it's the wrong performance. And then we're looking at the shares and the followers and numbers, but that's the wrong performance because it's the wrong measurements. When you were dealing with DEIB, you're dealing with humans, not ones and zeros. You're dealing with emotions, not analytics. And that causes us to not be just so data focused. Just take a breath. And maybe that's doing surveys, having workshops, having conversations with collaboration. We're not about competition, we're collaborating. Maybe even bringing a DEIB specialist to help look at it from a different angle or lens.
Did you know that we can deliver awesome marketing info directly into your inbox? Simply subscribe to our weekly newsletter that comes out 3 days a week. You won't miss any of the updates going on in the world of social marketing. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.
I'm sure for some people, this might be an uncomfortable conversation. So good thing it's on this podcast because you can listen or watch in the privacy of your own home and be as uncomfortable as you like and not have to worry about, you know, being embarrassed. But this is why I want to talk about it, right? Like, we're here to talk about the uncomfortable things. We're not here to stuff you full of rainbows and unicorns, right? So to that point, and I want to get your thoughts on this, a few years ago, after George Floyd, we had a few clients say, oh, we want to post about Black Lives Matter. Wonderful. Great. Totally support you. What internal initiatives are happening, you know, to support this community? Oh, nothing. We just want to post about it to show that we're, you know, in solidarity. And we advised all of these clients not to do that, right? Because if they didn't have actions to back up those words, it would be meaningless and it could actually turn around on them. Some of them listened and some of them didn't. And the ones who didn't listen got the backlash. They got in trouble. People said, I just went to your website and I didn't see one black person on the team page, or I went to your website and I didn't see any initiatives that support the black community. So can we just have an open conversation about posting to post and actually posting in solidarity, but also backing it up?
Yes, I actually made a framework for this, which was in my book, Shutters Up, and was called PASS. And it's you present. You're not telling, you're not demanding, you're not declaring. I am presenting information. And then I am going to ask questions. And then I'm going to share. And then I'm going to sway. So let's walk through this. And you're on social media, and you're trying to do this thing. When you're presenting, you're not declaring a certain game in a fight. You're presenting information for those to maybe have a conversation. But the better way on top of that, on the social thing, ask questions. That is the safest thing to do on social media, and probably in most situations. When you're not equipped, and you don't have the capacity, utility, and you don't know how to measure performance to do something, your cup is not full. Ask questions. Ask on social media, what are your thoughts? How can we be better?
Yes.
I'm just giving y'all gems, the easiest breadcrumbs ever. And then even better, share from an expert who knows. Shares from a brain who already got it together. You don't got to say nothing. You sharing says two things. I'm aware. I'm conscious of this thing. I'm also aware I'm not equipped to go into the depths of this thing, but this individual does. And I'm presenting you to my network, to my community. And now they are going to present. This also protects you, because even in a community as diverse as you may see, there's other things that we may not want to accept, but it's there. But if you're sharing it, you're articulating this individual. I'm not saying there's not anything there, but then the last thing, this is where the last thing comes in handy, you got to sway. Sometimes when you get too aggressive and you try to make change too quickly, as many brands as we know have done with logo changes and new directions, and it's a miss. It ain't a hit. Well, I better sway. I better do a little thing over there. And so that's something to consider when you're applying to social media and just in general with business: present, ask, share, and sway.
Can I tell you something? The share nugget that you just dropped, God, that just changed my whole... Internally, you know, we're figuring out ways to support some of the things that we want to support at Black Lives Matter, Pride. There's a lot of things I want to support intellectuals with IDD, right? So I never thought about the share part. I'm like, how do we post something, you know, to say like, this is what we support, but we don't necessarily have a program or whatever. God, that's life-changing. Share from someone who does, so that you can show, hey, we support Pride, we support this group, whatever it may be, but it's not necessarily coming from us, right? But we're still able to say, hey, people, look, this is important to me too. Ah, so good. Let's switch gears for a minute. And I want to talk about sales, right? Because this is what leadership is always stuck on: the pipeline, sales, growth, which you're an expert at. So how does all of what we've been talking about transition to the sales pipeline, right? Like, how does opening your mind and heart and soul and everything else into DEIB translate to dollars and cents?
Well, I always think, from just to get the ball rolling, diversity equals revenue. That's been something I've been trying to push. And why? Because you're bringing a collection of different individuals to the table, that inclusion, that inclusivity. And they're looking at the same thing from all these different angles, which means probability, you have a higher chance of succeeding simply because they can look at it from all different angles. The second thing is, I always say now when I have clients and we get started and I want to go from 5 MRR to like 35, 50 MRR in like this really crazy time window. And I'm like, Oh, okay. That's cool. The first thing I always say, how is your infrastructure? If you were to get what you want today, boom, Thanos snap, positive way, and the money just rains down, could you handle that? Well, I never thought about that. And I always remember a good friend of mine always used to say, you have to think about where you want to be now to move in that direction. Because if you think about where you are, you'll never get to where you want to go. And so I always say, sustainability first, scale second.
Yes.
Sustainability first, scale second. Now, what does that mean? A lot of these agencies, a lot of these startups, these, well, I want to go into hyperdrive growth mode. I want to go 40% ARR. I want to go. And their operations is stressed. The customer success team is like, Jesus, take the wheel. The sales team is overworked, underpaid. The commissions ain't adding up. Everything is being stretched to a point where chewing gum and duct tape can no longer suffice, but we're still obsessively chasing this abstract number because the manner in which you're doing it isn't sustainable. So you achieve it, and then the whole thing breaks like a whole bunch of stack cards. So when we're looking at it now, you have to be sustainable first and almost create the organization structure to scale with you. Now, that's hard to do, especially if obviously agency life, this is not for the faint of heart. Those in sales for a high scale agency, those in marketing who are like the army doing 50 things for one person ratio. We're going to talk about that. We need it. Still talking about it. Crazy. It is a lot and it's very stressful and strenuous. But when you look at your numbers, and you set your goal, let's say your 2024, is that net growth off of the the same budget from 2023? Is that net growth off of half the budget we're trying to do for 2024? What is our sustainability now? Where are we at? How are we operating? Yeah, that's not the sexiest conversation to have when you're trying to grow a business. But if your house literally isn't in order, you will not have the capacity to take the numbers and the clients and the joyous revenue that you will be able to do come the end of the year. And so I take them on that journey first to make sure that's in play. And then let's talk about how we're going to scale incrementally and intentionally over a time that makes sense to the entire team and not just one person who ain't checked on the person at the bottom in 10 weeks.
Right. I say a similar thing, which is optimize before you scale. But I love your approach. So as far as like the culture of marketing and accepting this whole DEIB conversation, I feel like, and again, this is from my point of view, so I want to get your point of view. I feel like I have seen slow but steady growth, that a lot more people are starting to look at their cup, right? And understand that there are ways in which they can fill it, which will help them use their power for good, but also to help them grow, to help them bring new audiences in the door. So with a real world lens from your side, what are you seeing about the marketing industry and how it is or is not kind of moving in the direction I think it might be? I hope it is.
I think, you know, right now, marketing has a very hard challenge. I mean, let's not acknowledge that right now during the time of this recording, there's plenty of layoffs happening. And unfortunately, comms and marketing are typically the first people to go. When ironically, comms and marketing are the bloodline for people to even become aware that your business even exists. But I digress. Conversation for another day. But when we think of marketing and where it needs to go, marketing and sales, and the dichotomy of, we need to stop thinking like that. There's a harmony to marketing and sales that we can find a united performance measure to scale and do what we need to do. But even now with marketing and how we're navigating, when you're now, I'm challenging agency owners to consider DEIB integration. I like to think of it this, when you want to add more to your cup, ooh, another acronym for those who can't see the visual component, audience dictates direction. Audience will always dictate direction.
I love that.
So you're trying to add a new service. You're trying to add a new product. You're trying to add new people to a different departments, add components to your website. Whatever you're trying to add on, the audience will dictate it. The audience will tell you they have a demand for it. So if you're constantly actively listening, you'll know what to add to your cup, which always guarantees you have the capacity and utility and the proper performance measurements to do it. And so with marketing now, we're adding, I'm saying this future sense, but we're present here. We're adding this DEIB component, this additional layer on top of what you're doing. Now, it may not seem like it's working. Well, I'm breathing. It's working. I know it's there. I know it's there. I know it sounds silly, Troy, you're being funny, but I'm being real. All, you know, all jokes aside, I'm being real. When you're adding the DEIB component, this ensures that your brand, that your offering, that your pathway to the heart of the customer and deliverability of your clientele and everything in between cements in their mind a deeper meaning as to why I choose your brand versus somebody else. Why I stay with you during COVID. Why I stayed with you, even though you just went up on your price again. Life is hard out here in operations.
Right.
But I'm choosing to do that because you're connected to me deeper than just the P's and L's. And I think when marketing can do that in a way, now I'll get to this point in 2 seconds, but when marketing can do that in a certain way, that means you're operating way that I'm going to sustain this business regardless of what's happening in the market, because I'm able to navigate, connect to the human element of it. If we're down and we need more referrals because of how I've sowed these seeds from a DEIB perspective, people will now help me in my time of need to get more referrals and quicker to sustain my business because of the seeds I've sown in a way that is rooted in my heart. Now, this sounds like mushy-wushy, and I'm not trying to make it like that. But then the question I get from a lot of executives here, okay, Troy, that sounds great. I've heard everything you said. Okay, bet. I got one question. How in the universe do I measure that? How do I measure that? Oh, I love this question. I absolutely love this question because they think I'm going to fluke and get scared and not know what to say next. Okay. When's the last time you talked to your best clients last, beyond performance or measures every quarter that you have scheduled out to read something? Whenever you ask them how they're doing, how their business is doing, how their clients or how their product is selling beyond the numbers, what do they feel? When's the last time you've had group conversations or conversations with people who did not choose you?
Ooh, yeah.
I always like to think people who've known me from way back when. My first thing was the relationship status of buyers, advocates, and elevators. Just because they didn't buy don't mean they can't be an advocate. And maybe they're not ready to be an advocate doesn't mean they can't be an elevator. So with these agencies and y'all want to cut people off because they ain't buying right now, off with you. If I focus on element H just a little bit more, and the marketing is including in that sense of belonging, I'm going to take everyone I have a conversation with as an agency owner and marketing and sales and put them in their appropriate bucket, buyer, advocate, or elevator. And how do I serve them? It's not just a buyer's market. It's not. You're playing too much of a risk in your portfolio. Any moment is going to crash. But if I diversify, literally, my portfolio, diversify how I engage with these people who are humans, who ain't just, if they not paying, I ain't playing. No.
Yeah.
I want to know you. I want to see how I can still serve and help you. Because those additional pathways, as we know, stack up makes you stronger and more sustainable. And that helps you grow. And so that's where I'm challenging. That's where marketing needs to go. But marketing needs support from the top. If the top doesn't embrace this and distill it down, marketing will never have the empowerment or the capacity or the utility to do it. Therefore, the performance will lack. Therefore, you'll be in a spiral come Q3, come Q4. And you'll be like, why is that when we've done everything right, but missed out on the human element?
I couldn't agree with everything you said more. And I want to end on kind of a last thought there with the last question, which is, okay, people are listening, they're watching. What actionable steps can someone take, can, you know, these agency owners take to adopt the conscious growth pathways that you've been talking about? And how can they use it for, you know, those action steps for sustainable growth?
The first step I would say to do, and I always end with my six eyes, is to do an introspection. I don't think we do as agency owners, as executive leadership teams, or just as organization overall, do enough introspection. And that's an examining of oneself, of how we feel and how we look at how we're operating. And we internally ask, what can we do better? What can you see that I can't see? What are they saying that I can't say? Which leads into genuine, true investigation. And then you want to initiate. I'm not saying just do right away. You want to initiate. Let me test. Let me just initiate the act of making this change. I want to ease into that. I can't stress that enough, especially when we're talking about something so sensitive and something that actually is broader than what I've even presented in this moment. There's a lot of more layers to this that I'm not equipped to express currently, but that's something to consider when you're trying to adopt this. And know that this is something that is a constant learning experience. This isn't, I read one book, I put a new chart on the wall, and we're done. Unfortunately, humans are more complicated than that, and humans need more things than that. And so this is an ever-evolving thing. So give yourself grace, but do push yourself to choose to learn and evolve. Now, I've used a lot of words that maybe a lot of sales and teams don't want to like, because it sounds like, give me concrete things to do. Well, what works for you to adapt this ability and adapt this new conscious growth pathways is different than someone else. And sure, what do you mean? If you're in an industry that's predominantly one type of group, or that's what your clientele has been, I would advise you maybe go a little, maybe more baby steps, because you don't want to make a sudden change that impacts your bottom line. I want you to be more inclusive and equitable with your decisions of how you market and how you sell, but not at the detriment of your actual business. So that'd be anchor number one. Just see how the versatility of how it, the volatility of how your audience and how your clients would receive. This is an attack on clients. It is an attack on yourself just to receive this, this betterment. It's kind of like you're test launching a new flavor or a recipe.
I was going to say, it's a test. It's a focus group.
Yes, yeah, 100%. Yeah. And so as you're expanding on that, this is the point that's very critical. Do not leave to your own devices. Bring in third-party help or collaborate with people who already have established themselves with where you're trying to go and share notes.
And I would say bring in people like Troy, who can help you actually do the thing. You're going to help them do the doing. Oh, man. Listen, I can't tell you how much I've appreciated this conversation. I love that you're open, first and foremost. I love that you're willing, secondly, to share your experience and to encourage people and to educate people, right? Because I think the education piece is so important, especially in our industry, right? We know just by looking at the numbers, this is factual data. It's not, you know, gossip or hearsay that most of the people in our industry are older white men. So the fact that you're willing to have the open mind, have the willingness, and help educate all of the people in our industry who may not have had that introspective look yet is just sorely needed. And I'm so glad we had this conversation, and I hope we get to have you back. Before we bid adieu, can you tell everybody what you're working on, how they can find you, how they can connect with you, all the great things about Troy?
Well, thank you. So if you're trying to find Troy, find Troy everywhere on the internet. I'm done. I'm just kidding. I've partnered with Christina Kay, my co-partner, managing partner here, co-founder, to launch Season 3 Media, which takes what we've talked about today in many ways and help agency owners, help B2Bs, help event organizers expand this horizon. And on top of that, we are doubling down on event-led growth. And so we love to do hosting, emceeing. We love to do UGC. And so if there's any brands that want to partner with us on that, we are more than happy to have conversations and go on tours and just make an impact where there needs to be. And the last thing that I would say, I've been trying my best to take what we taught. This is an exclusive. This is the first time I've ever gone this depth of conscious growth pathways with anyone. So this is exclusive first on the show. And I'm developing, kind of like how a comedic does, my skit, because I'm doing a keynote at Marketech Conference next month on this very topic. And so if anyone who's listening and watching wants to give me feedback or ask me more questions, I welcome it with open arms at Find Troy everywhere. Thank you.
Yes, so good. Just thank you for being my friend and being in my life and having this amazing conversation. Please go find Troy. Ask him the hard questions, because I've done it and he's so willing to answer. And also make sure you hire Troy and Christina. I didn't mention Christina, but they both co-hosted Inbound and y'all were fantastic. So I love the event angle too. Thank you so much. And everybody, we'll see you on the next show. Thanks for listening. If you're new to this show, be sure to follow us. If you've been a longtime listener, let your friends know about the show. I'm at Brooks Tellis on Instagram and Twitter. And for fun, make sure you tag at SM Examiner. Also, be sure to check out our other shows, the Social Media Marketing Podcast and the Social Media Marketing Talk Show. This brings us to the end of this week's Marketing Agency Show. We'll catch you next week as we explore the adventures of marketing agency life.
The Marketing Agency Show is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Want more good stuff? Sign up for our top-notch social marketing newsletter. We deliver it straight into your inbox 3 days a week. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.